Directors, please return to your chair. We're ready to get started. We are back in session after our brief recess for a compilation of the round one rankings. Madam Secretary, do you have a report for us?
I do. Sorry, I just have to put my stronger glasses on here so I can see. Okay. Again, the rankings were the top three. So the highest is a three and the lowest was a one. The top candidate was Ken Peterson, followed by a three-way tie for second, which is Stacy Fortner, Eric Adar, and Philip Deline. Or Deline? Deline? Deline. Okay. Those are the results.
All right. So by our procedures, we will go ahead and include all four in the second round of questioning. Is that correct?
That is correct. And we'll take the highest candidate first and then work down. So we can start with Ken Peterson, then go to Stacy, then Eric, and then Philip in the order that they presented earlier this evening.
All right.
They won't know that they're in the order of high to low.
I'm sorry, Director Kelly.
They will not know that they're in the order of high to low.
It was a three-way tie with the Ken Peterson was the highest, and then everybody else was a three-way tie of nine.
No, what I mean is you're going to bring Ken Peterson first.
Mm-hmm.
Will everybody know that he was the primary choice, or it's going to be undisclosed at this time?
No, it was for record that he was the highest candidate of 19.
So you'll be announcing that.
Yep, just did.
Okay. All right.
We are saying it. Yep.
Thank you.
And these are 10 minutes in time.
All right. I really want to, before the group walked out, I wanted to thank the candidates who came and didn't end up in the top four, but the discussion was going on. So I do appreciate everyone's attending. So with that, this is kind of a 10-minute limit, but you can ask any question that relates to the earlier responses, and you do not have to ask a question. So I'll just survey around the room. Any board member would like to ask Mr. Peterson a question? Vice President Ozaski, go ahead.
Mr. Peterson, can you tell us what was your biggest accomplishments at Valencia Water Company? I know you have many, but just pick one of them.
Well, thank you for that question, Vice President. I think O, as the Director O, as somebody said the other day.
Director O is fine, yes.
I'll get used to it. You know, the biggest accomplishment was just to go through a cost of service study that occurred right at the end of the time before the consolidation occurred in 2018. In 2017, we went through a rate case that provided an opportunity to bring rates into take care of rates into the new agency, basically, for the company or the division of the Castaic Lake Water Agency. But as far as the accomplishment, we got it accomplished with approval of the board of Valencia at the time. And then now it's part of the rate structures that you all have in the agency. Only reason why I bring that up because I authored the that cost of service study along with another individual accountant.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Back to you, President Martin.
Any other questions for Mr. Director Gusek?
I was trying to think of one that would apply to all the finalists. As a member of the community, so this isn't specifically about, you know, knowing the inner workings of the water agency, but as a member of the community, what is one thing that you think the water agency should do differently? You know, what would be your priority to say, I think this should be changed or tweaked?
Well, the always good for communication with the community. I've noticed also with my neighbors and the my associates at the Rotary Club and who are all business owners or part of the community for many, many years, all of them. It is understanding what is provided by the water service of the agency, what entails goes on. They appreciate it when I explain it to them, but they also would like to know more always. So all those opportunities are, you know, given by the agency now, really, but they just like to have just reassurance of how things work, basically.
President Martin, Director Kelly has his hand up.
Go ahead, Director Kelly.
Good evening once again, Mr. Peterson. So I don't think we're ever really retired, especially when somebody such as yourself actually goes out and continues community service and staying involved in the community. But with regards to the 20 affirmations that the water agency has, I know that the Rotary Club has 4 specific affirmations that we abide by with the integrity and truth and honesty. And how do you see those playing in your future role if you were to become a director with the agency?
Director Kelly, that's kind of a leading question. As far as the Rotary is concerned, there are 4 affirmations that are essential. And in fact, I have them sitting right here, I believe. Which I like to carry with me to remind me, it's called the 4-way test of things we think, we do, and say. And that includes, it's a very simple 4-way test. Number 1, is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill? Better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? So the basic 4 tenets of Rotary that was actually put in place back in the 1930s when the these businessmen were working all together in the community to do the right thing for the community.
Thank you for sharing that. And how would you connect that to the agency?
Well, it's directly related to the community that we serve with the agency and how we should conduct our affairs as a board member, as a member of the public, and as a neighbor to our neighbors, basically.
Thank you very much.
Director Kirkwood, you had a question or a comment? Go ahead.
Mr. Peterson, I see you've served as general manager of 3 water agencies, down in Orange County, 1, and 2 of them up here. I think that's quite a history of water and very commendable, I think. One thing you didn't mention when the question about what do you feel are the most important issues, you didn't mention drought. And could you give me your thoughts on the drought and how the agency can handle that?
Drought is a very, I go back a long ways about droughts. When I was in Orange County, I was working on my master's degree in civil engineering, and I was working for a water agency as a consultant at that time. And it just occurred to me in late 70s that we have to discuss drought, and that we were going through a drought at that time in 1977, 78. I think the State Water Project had like a 0 allocation.
Yep.
Many things happened because of that. you know, it's a, what I think about drought is that it's going to be reoccurring. And it's unfortunate it's reoccurring faster these days. It seems to us, seems to me anyway. And there's probably the reason for that is, and I'm becoming more proponent of, we are changing the weather a little bit here. There's some things are changing, and that we have to get prepared for that. And it being as what, you know, in the state this week, talking about going directly to only electric vehicles, but, you know, those are still usable, uses electricity and things like that, but it does, you know, step down the carbon footprint if we use renewable energy. So it is my opinion that we're going to have droughts. We have to manage our water supply accordingly for that and communicate those, that management to our public in the water agency, using that water all through the state. No matter if you're a user of water in your pool or agricultural interests, those are the things that we have to deal with as a water agency in these times.
I think we're about out of time.
We have about 1 minute left.
1 minute left. Another question, Dr. Armitage.
Thank you. So we heard the word sustainability used many times tonight. And sustainability really means giving equal consideration to three areas: economic values, social values, and environmental values. So I'd like to ask if you could speak to that in your opinion or thoughts around that.
I'm not really sure where you want to head with this, but those are sustainability issues, yes. And we have those issues in front of us when we deal with our groundwater supplies. We deal with that, the economics of treating that water as necessary because of, I will say, contamination. We have the sustainability to keep that water in the ground as long as we can.
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson, your time is up. All right. Sorry, you're not able to finish your response, but we appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
We need to move to the next candidate. Who is next up, April?
Ms. Fortner.
Oh, on the Zoom connection,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Yes, and she is not online. Oh, there she is. Ms. Fortner, go ahead. Just acknowledge that you can hear. Ms. Fortner?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Time has started.
All right. Any questions for Ms. Fortner? Looking right. Any questions, Director Armitage?
Thank you. Am I limited to one or? Yes. Okay. So you had mentioned that you're continuing your education through a couple of different programs, and I'm wondering if you can just speak more to those, please.
Sure. So there's a couple of different programs that I'm currently enrolled in. One of them is a water management class. It's offered through a Harvard Extension program. There's three separate components to achieving the master certificate, and that the first part is water and climate. The second piece to that is drinking water treatment, and the third piece is urban sewage treatment. That's one of the programs that I am looking at. One of the other ones I'm currently enrolled, not looking at, I'm enrolled in that. The other one that I am finishing up right now is the effects of climate change, the health effects of climate change. I'll be finishing that by the end of October. And that has various components to that as well. There's a few different courses that you need to complete for the certificate. There's a health, the human face of climate change, the climate science around it, heat and air quality. There's infection, nutrition, migration. There's research methods, there's climate change solutions. And so all of that is components of that particular course. And then the last one that I'm doing is just for, because I, it's funny that, you know, as an adult and you know, that I have a college age daughter, I love to learn. I just can't stop doing it. I just, you know, whether it's taking certifications for my job, which requires technology, I'm in technology. I work for a multinational technology company. I'm a solution architect working in hyperconverged systems. And so there's a lot of certifications that go along with that to maintain my professionalism with my real job that helps me pay the bills. But so I'm taking this course that is another master certificate. I'm going to start this one probably after October because I'm busy with the other two. But this one is called Waterworks, and it's Activating the Heritage for Sustainable Development. And what is so cool about this class is that it takes you through the whole like historic cities and ports and landscapes. And it talks about sustainable development and reimagining society and culture based on water and around sustainable development. So it's a really interesting class. So I'm glad you asked that question because I just can't stop with this stuff. And, you know, it's a passion. It is a, I'm driven by my passion to serve in this water industry and, you know, and on this board. You know, I ran for the board in the past. And so hopefully I will get there because it's a goal of mine and I'm not going to stop until I achieve it. So thank you for asking.
Director Planbeck, go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned several times your concerns about climate change and that you worked on legislation. And I'm wondering what you would do regionally to improve our climate resiliency.
So what I think is the foundation for all of this is to really understand that our water supply is finite. It's not going to grow. It's not going to expand. All the water that's ever been and all the water that's ever going to be on this planet is already here. And so we need to work within that framework and make sure that we are building smart. I've never, ever, ever been anti-development. I have been accused of being anti-development, but I have never, ever been anti-development. I'm anti-stupid development, and I'm anti-sprawl, and I'm anti, you know, million-dollar condos when what we need is affordable housing and more dense communities with proper transportation so that we're not traveling so far to our jobs and we're not driving to Los Angeles for work, and that we're creating a community of caring here that that will mitigate and eliminate some of that extra carbon that we're putting out into the world. And so I have that at top of mind. Other things that I see are I was so happy that the agency got rid of their turf program because the last thing that we need is more pollution in our water system, right? We don't need more microplastics in our water. So I was thrilled when the agency got rid of that. I was so proud of you all for doing that. So, you know, having more permeable surfaces, not cementing over, building over our recharge areas and making sure that our water supplies are sustainable and that they are we're recycling where we can, conserving where we should, and that everybody takes responsibility and understands that, you know, this is our home and this is what we have to work with and that we need to work within that framework. And everyone needs to be accountable for their water use. I think I answered your question. I hope I did. That was a lot of words.
Any other questions for Ms. Fortner? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Fortner, for your time. We can move on to the next candidate.
Mr. Adar.
That be? Mr. Adar. All right, we open up to questions, comments from the board. Any questions for Mr. Adair? Director Planbeck.
I just want to say that I've already asked my one question and I got a very good answer that I don't need to be worried about it. So I don't need to ask you more.
Okay, I was prepared to answer that if you want me to, but that's fine. And I would confirm, I don't have any current conflicts. None of the past matters where I've represented other clients would conflict with what I would be doing here, including the work on the State Water Project and CDP project.
Any other questions? Director Gusak, go ahead.
Well, I have actually a two-part question. Well, to follow up on that, can we get that confirmed if you are either the candidate or the alternate candidate as far as legal counsel? Because I know sometimes there's surprises, like would there be things we couldn't participate in, or what would happen? Would it be an abstention if there was an issue? Have to answer it now.
Well, I could say unequivocally there is not a conflict that would prevent him from holding office.
Okay.
Unequivocally, if something arose that he was working on a matter, that's a case by case, just as it is with all directors, to right. determine whether you have a financial interest or a conflict with something which is pending.
Okay.
So there's no impediment to him being considered.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And then I would ask my other question about, you know, again, with a perspective as a community member, what do you see from the outside that would be a priority to do differently? Should you get on the board, what would be the first thing that you would suggest we do differently?
Well, I don't know if it's different. I'll just say one thing that I thought was done well with the GSP effort was community outreach. There were a lot of, I mean, unfortunately, it was all online because of the pandemic, but there were great plans to have in-person meetings with stations where people would be able to stand and ask their questions and speak to experts and board members and committee members and have a face-to-face discussion. Regrettably, the pandemic hit, and like so many other plans, those plans were wiped out. But I'd like to see that more and more. We would do that more and more often. I talk to people who think about these issues, but not very deeply. It's they're concerned about where the water comes from, but they don't know. They don't understand that it starts with the snowpack, and it, you know, who cares about a 2-inch bait fish in the Delta? You know, it's just ruining the water supply for the farmers and Southern California. Well, there's a lot more to it than those issues, and we education, information, getting it out into the right people. The people that want to know, I think we should be trying to do that as best we can. And there may be more opportunities to do that through public forums and other meetings.
Where am I looking? Who's got a question? Oh, Director Bernstein, I'm sorry.
We both have a question. We're just arguing who is going to do it first. So... you mentioned that you're an environmental lawyer, mm-hmm. and I'm reading like all the people that you've defended, and it sounds like as sitting on the water board specifically, it sounds like you if I'm reading this wrong, please correct me, but it sounds like you defend the polluters a lot of times.
The
polluters.
There's a lot of cases where it is all of the polluters getting together and trying to figure out who's going to be responsible for the cost of cleanup, as opposed to I don't get involved in a lot of cases where we are defending a polluter against a state agency. I've done my share. I talked about the city of Thousand Oaks. I would just say that everybody has an opportunity to be represented. Everybody has an opportunity to defend themselves. In that particular case is one example. The Regional Water Board imposed an unprecedented penalty, and the LA Superior Court agreed that the penalty was vastly overstated and unsupportable in its as alleged. We went back twice and had to defend the city, and ultimately the city paid a substantial penalty voluntarily as a result of this process. But it's not always a matter of just defending the bad polluters. It's finding an equitable result. The process I'm involved with right now in the Superfund site in this riverbed sediment case, it's the polluters voluntarily getting together and participating in a mediation process to decide among themselves who's going to pay what share of the cost of cleanup. Not really fighting about the cleanup. The cleanup's going to happen, and we're going to share in that responsibility. But we're going to do it fairly and equitably among all the polluters.
Okay. I mean, for the record, I believe that everybody has a right to be defended. Sure. Like, my dad's a lawyer too. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. But as I said, it just, when I heard environmental lawyer, this is not what I pictured in my mind.
There are all kinds. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
Any other questions from the board? Is it Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. I'll say that I had the same kind of concerns that Director Bronstein had as well. But I'd like to ask if you could specifically speak to, you brought up that you were part of writing biological opinions for the Delta Smelt for the State Water Project. Could mm-hmm. you please speak more to that and your opinion about that?
I didn't have any involvement in writing those. I was involved in the litigation over the biological opinions themselves. Those were presented by the feds, and they impacted water operations in the Delta. So the issue was which of the specific pumping and controls and other regulations were supported by the administrative record, which were not, and how to come to an equitable result. Short of getting into the details of it, there were several of the operational controls that were implemented in those biological opinions that were fine, and nobody had a problem with those. But there were others that didn't work, candidly. They just they wouldn't have the effect of protecting the fish, which did need and do need, continue to need protecting. So the issue was not no protections. The issue was, how do we effectively protect those species? 10 years later, after my involvement's been over, I'm completely in favor of as many protections as possible for the endangered species. That's my current take on this. But those opinions, those biological opinions, so many of those controls just didn't have any foundation in science.
Very good. Any other questions for Mr. Adair? Director Bourne.
Just a quick one, Mr. Adair. I didn't quite understand on the groundwater sustainability plan, your role on the advisory committee as vice chair, and then subsequently you left that position. I couldn't quite follow what happened at that
time. I didn't leave the committee. The committee's role ended naturally, and it termed out once the plan itself was completed, our service ended. So I never left. I was there from the beginning. We had an election at the very beginning. I was elected vice chair, and candidly, what that meant was I conducted a couple of meetings, but I attended every meeting and contributed where I could, and great process. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Do you raise your hand or you're eating? Okay. No. Okay. I don't see any other questions for you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Madam Secretary, on the final candidate, can you announce who it is for the record, for the recording record?
Absolutely. Our final candidate is Philip, and I'm going to probably say it wrong again, Denley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Denley?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. All right. So we have any questions for Mr. Denley? Director Armitage.
Thank you again. So earlier in conversation, after you had done your presentation, Director Goodside had commented that there's a need for stronger people with stronger finance background on the board. And then Director Kelly commented that the agency's finance staff is more than capable of directing the financial duties and processes. And I guess I'm just going to throw my observation in by saying that I do think that we're starting to have good discussions on a particular couple of key issues that keep coming up, that need to come up. But I do also think that it would benefit the board to have someone with strong financial knowledge to help with that. So I just wanted to offer that out. And then I do have a question. And so you mentioned that you read the strategic plan. Thank you for doing that. You did your homework. And that you can offer ideas in particular about the section on financial resiliency. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit, please.
Well, it was very long, so I can't say that I absorbed the entire strategic plan, but I went through the highlights. And many strategic plans are very, very long when it's a five-year strategic plan. So you asked about financial resiliency. Well, I think I would really have to dig into your budgets and finances a little bit more. A few things that jumped out at me was that it runs a very fine line, and I think that's probably appropriate for a public agency. You don't want to be profiting tremendously. However, is there a way we can build some sort of a legacy or a trust fund? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand that part yet. As a financial institution, we have to have capital. We have to have reserves for a rainy day. And just like you have reserves for a rainy day with water, I would hope and think there's some reserves for a rainy day with finances as well. So I saw a few years ago, there was a loss. And then last year, I believe we returned to profitability again, which is great. But how do we make sure that we have money to run all the time when there is a loss? And, you know, that would just be my only perspective. I don't know enough about it yet at this time. And I haven't really dug into your finances too deeply, but I would wonder if there is that. I'm not sure.
Director Goodside.
I will ask the question you've heard a couple of times before. And again, as a, you know, community member, not even as having read any plans or programs, what would you think the agency should do different, or what would you prioritize, maybe making little changes to, you know, out in the community? What do you feel what we need?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think if you did choose me to join this board, I'd probably be quiet for the first meeting or two. I think you have to learn, listen, and understand what's going on. But if I had to say at first blush, it's something that was mentioned before, and I mentioned it briefly in my presentation too, public outreach, but also coming with ideas. You know, the background I have working for large and small banks, not always creating a community event where they have to come to you, but going out to community events. You have concerts in the park, which is just below you here, you know, setting up a listening booth or an answer booth at a situation like that could bring a lot of information to the community. People will engage, because I've gone and done those events, and you put up a sign saying what you're going to talk about. And today we're going to talk about first-time home buyers, and people just approach you. And you're not going to have an hour-long conversation, but you're going to have 5-10 minutes of good info, and you're going to tell them where they can then find more information and direct them to our website. So this agency has a lot of great information on the website. It's just people may not know to look there. So having outreach efforts at community events like that. And then you can also partner with local businesses. I would say Lowe's or Home Depot would love to have people walking into their stores to learn a little bit more about water conservancy if they're then going to go and buy new sprinklers from them, which may also be something that we could help them fund through the water agency grants or something like that. Even better, I would say if you could find a local business rather than a Home Depot or Lowe's that you could use to support an effort like that would be great. Come all out to an event at local hardware store owned by a local business person, support the community, and learn a little bit more about the water agency, what we can do. And, oh, and here's some supplies you can buy that can make your backyard more drought tolerant. Here are some plants that are better for your situation. Just ideas such as that.
Vice President Ozahowski.
I want to give you benefit of the doubt. I'm looking at the calendar right now for the month of August. When did you learn about this opening for an application? What day?
I learned about it. I feel like it was about 2 weeks ago. I sent my application in, I think, the night it was due, because I was thinking, how much time do I have to contribute to this? I have two conflicts. I had to ask my board if they would have an issue with it. My board chair said no. And the other conflict I will have, that if I am appointed, I would have to talk to later. I have securities licenses, 60, a 7, a 63, and a 24. I have to tell them about outside employment. I did have to determine if they have a conflict with this, which they've had a conflict with one other thing I've had in the past that I turned down. If appointed here, I'd probably drop the securities licenses because they're not something I'm actively using. So I had to spend a little bit of time figuring out whether I wanted to fully commit to it. So.
Okay, understood. I'm hearing a lot of public outreach suggestions from you. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to read over public outreach committee meeting notes or meeting minutes?
I looked at the most recent one because you're the chair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did look at that. And I think that that's why I mentioned in my presentation, there's definitely a committee and I'd love to help out on that. It's how can we get this information out? Social media is a very difficult way to do it these days because it's the waters are muddied with the Kardashians and everybody else. So how are you going to make the water agency sexy and exciting, right? So I think I don't have a real robust solution to that right now, but like I mentioned, there's public outreach you can do in person. And hey, if that's a committee that I could join and help make contributions to from the beginning, that would be great.
Okay. And a follow-up question. Have you had a chance to read any of our finance committee meeting packets or glance over them?
Yeah, I read, you know, I was kind of cramming over the last weekend.
Understood.
And sometimes when you cram, you don't retain everything. But yeah, I read over them. And that's why I said I was knowledgeable about your finances, but I could only find yearly. I did go through your finance committee meetings and I couldn't find where do we stand on a monthly or quarterly basis. So I don't know how often that's reported to the board or committee. I couldn't find it in any of your board committee minutes or reports. So I figured it was in the finance committee. I went and dug around in there and I didn't really see any regular financial reports. Like here's where revenue is this month or this quarter. If they do exist, I wasn't able to find them in there, but that would be something I'd be interested to know because if you only look at the finances once a year, a lot can happen.
Right.
Maybe you get behind.
Understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
I just want to defend a second. It's in our packet. Those... I can't if I don't let you know where they are. They're in the packet. So for the finance at the end.
At the end. Well, I scrolled and scrolled and maybe I didn't get all the way to the end.
Could be, but okay. We do get quarterlies and monthlies as well.
So. Good. I would hope so. I expected it to be there, but I'll be honest with you. I was looking again this afternoon. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. Very good. I'll ask, does Director Kelly have any questions for...
He does not have his hand up.
Does not. Okay. All right. Any other board member have a question for Mr. Denley? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For participating in round two. We are now ready to do the second ranking. And just to clarify, Mr. Byrne and this, and Madam Secretary, the 5.2 item will begin when you present the summary of the results to the board for 5.2, because we do have a public comment.
We could do public comment, and then yes, if whoever ranks the highest would then be, there would be a motion to seat that person.
Following the presentation of the results and before we do the nomination, we will take public comment on 5.2.
That would be correct.
Okay, all right, very good. All right, then go ahead and, by the way, and we're just ranking 3 out of 4, is that correct?
You're ranking the 3 out of 4, yes.
Very good.
Highest is 3, then 2, the lowest is 1.
Yes.
Director Kelly, are you ready to give your ranking?
Yes. Going with 3 for Ken Peterson and two for Mr. Adair and one for Stacy Fortner.
Thank you.
How much time do we need? 10 minutes? Well, we will have our final recess for the evening for about 10 minutes while Board Secretary compiles the rankings. So let's try to be back by 9:10. How's that? Pardon? We are now in recess. Ready to continue? April, when you make this announcement, can you remove your mask so I can hear what you're saying?
Oh. Sure. Okay.
I have to be honest.
Okay. The results are as follows. Ken Peterson received 20. Philip Denley received 16. Eric Adair received 14. And Stacy Fortner received 9. Ken Peterson is your top candidate with the highest score. It would be appropriate after public comment for somebody to make a motion.
Thank you very much. We do have a public comment card for Ms. Noltemeyer for item 5.2. So if I'm not mistaken, she's gone.
Hold on just one moment. Somebody just raised their hand. No, Ms. Fortner's not there. Just one moment, Ms. Kaufman. Ms. Kaufman, you may now begin your public comment.
There we go. And how are you, by the way?
Very good. Thank you. How are you?
Okay, too. Thank you.
Very good. You may begin your public comment.
Thank you. Slightly after the fact, stop me if it doesn't pertain. At 4:50 this afternoon, I tried to log in the usual way, and there was a written message, "This event has passed." A dear friend kindly gave me another link, but I missed candidates up until Mr. Adair, which leaves me to candidate Adair. Nice guy, by the way. But his opening stated he is an environmentalist. Yay! And he works for Texaco. What? Somebody coughed. I heard him say Texaco, and I went, oh, my God, what? I just can't see that ever being a workable combination. And despite anything else he had to say, danger, danger. I totally missed Mr. Peterson because of that other flaw, but I'm guessing 7 male votes, including Director Gutzeit. And I'm disappointed, but that's it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Kaufman.
Thanks, hon.
Is there any further public comment? Does not appear so. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. I think we're ready to, I would entertain a motion for a nomination for the appointed director. Director Cooper.
I would so nominate Ken Peterson to fill this position.
Do we have a second?
I will second.
RJ Kelly, second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think Director Gutzeit won the jump ball on that, RJ.
Why? Just because I'm 3,000 miles away?
Unless you're willing to give up your second. Second by Director Kelly. Any further discussion before we call for the vote? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cawley.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
No.
Director Armitage.
Abstain.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
No.
Vice President Ozerhofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
We needed a majority vote of 6. We did get that. This item does pass. Oh, I'm sorry, Marie, Director Gutzeit. I'm so sorry.
I was waiting.
I know. I can't. How could I forget you?
Yes.
Thank you. Again, this item does pass with a vote of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Congratulations, Mr. Peterson.
Congratulations, Mr. Peterson. I would entertain a motion for a nomination for the alternate director.
I would like to nominate Mr. Dunley.
Nomination for Mr. Dunley?
I will second it.
Second by Director Gutzeit. Any discussion or questions from the board? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
And this time I'm going to get Director Gutzeit first. Director Gutzeit, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
Abstain.
Director Cawley? Director Ford?
Yes.
Director Plambeck?
Yes.
President Martin? Or I'm sorry, Vice President Wozuhowski?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Congratulations, you are our alternate.
Thank you very much, board. Thank you to all the candidates for participating. And I think we are ready to move to adjournment. And congratulations to Mr. Peterson and Mr. Dunlea for the number 1 and number 2 vote. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you all.